Welcome to A Brit in LA with star of stage and screen, Lauren Samuels. Each week, she'll be navigating different areas of the US entertainment industry after swapping London for La La Land. She'll be meeting inspiring figures who are achieving their own Hollywood dreams.
Hello and a very warm welcome to A Brit in LA with me, Lauren Samuels, and a big, big, big thank you to you for helping this show chart in the top 100 podcasts for film and TV interviews. If you do have any questions or suggestions about the show, please do contact me via the website, abritinla.fm, but more on that at the end. And now, do you need the help of a career expert? If so, you're listening to the right podcast because my guest today is the ultimate career coach, Octavia Gorodima, MBE. This LA-based Brit has coached leaders at Google, Nike, and Tinder. She's been on a mission to help underrepresented professionals climb the career ladder and shares her methods in a hit book, Prep, Push, Pivot. Octavia, welcome to A Brit in LA.
Oh, thank you so much, Lauren. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, you and I both moved from Britain here to LA, but did you fall in love with Los Angeles right from the start?
I didn't. And I have to say, I've actually moved to Los Angeles twice. So the first time I moved to LA, no, I didn't fall in love with LA to begin with. I feel really terrible saying that because I love living here now and I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. But it was a slow burn. It took a while for me to adjust, and I moved from London, and LA felt like the antithesis of almost everything that I was really used to, even from the weather, just driving, buying foods at the grocery store. I even couldn't really understand what people were saying at first, which was a real shock to me because I expected that language would be the one easy part of my move. But I realized, no, I couldn't understand some of the things that people were saying and the points of reference and cultural references. People couldn't understand me. I spoke really fast and people were like, what did you just say? So it took me a while. And I think it was probably after about 18 months, I slowly started to realize that I was adjusting, and not just adjusting, but also having a really great time. And that's when I realized, okay, now I get it.
So it took 18 months.
Yeah, I think it took about that. It took about that time. It took me a while. I kept comparing everything to what I was used to back home in the UK. And it took me a while to just really just embrace where I was and to find my way, literally to find my way, you know, around the city and my work and making new friends and a new home and a new everything. So yes, it wasn't an immediate adjustment.
I'm glad that you said 18 months because I've only been here 6 months and I'm definitely still not completely used to it. So I'm glad that you said it took 18 months.
Oh my goodness, 6 months. Oh, that's hardly anything.
I know. But you're so right. Like, even though we speak the same language, you would think there are so many communication barriers, and I have never felt more British in my entire life being here.
Yes, I felt the same way too. And now I can look back on all of those feelings and the confusion with humor. It was a while ago. It was 2005 when I first moved here. And then I went back to the UK and then I moved again. And the second move was so much easier.
Okay, good. I take solace in that. Thank you. you had a corporate career in public relations before all of this. What experiences in that environment prompted you for this new direction your career has gone into in coaching?
Yeah, so I wrote a book called Prep, Push, Pivot, and I made, as you referenced, a career pivot of my own. And to be honest, Lauren, when I started my career in London, I would never have guessed that I'd be where I am now in any capacity, in terms of geography, in terms of the type of work that I was doing. I really didn't know coaching existed for a long time. I started my career right after university. I went to the University of Leicester and I moved to London to start my career in public relations, as you referenced, before I even graduated. Actually, I had to take time off work to go back for my graduation ceremony. So right out of the gate, I started my career and I was really excited to do so. And then I moved to Los Angeles. But as I was gradually progressing in different phases of my career, I just started to realize that there was more to it than what I thought. There was more that went into building a career than just working hard. And I started to have questions about that for myself. But I've also always been fascinated in what happens before you're successful and what it takes to do work that makes you thrive and how to navigate those challenges. And as I became more senior in my career, I became really invested in helping others get started in their careers too. And I was always a huge advocate of mentoring and networking, but it was only until I actually worked with a career coach myself when I was at a crossroads in terms of what I wanted to do. And I met the coach that I worked with completely by chance. I wasn't even looking for a coach. I went to an event and the person who became my coach was on a panel and I loved her energy and just what she was sharing. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have to find some way to connect with her. Yeah. And it was through that process of being coached myself that a kind of light bulb went off. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is phenomenal. And I'd been really fascinated by professional development, as I referenced to you. I'd been writing about that in my spare time and connecting people and hosting events and doing things with school kids and doing things with my peers as well as in my career. And then it all just kind of made sense. And so I started training as a coach. And right from the beginning, I had to start coaching. That's what my course required. It was like, okay, you have to actually be active in this process. Go. Exactly. And I was like, wait, what? But it was the best possible thing because I literally jumped in. It wasn't just theory. I jumped right in and it just felt right. And I didn't know how that journey would feel, but I feel like I had to go through all the experiences I had of moving overseas and starting to climb the corporate ladder and all of the things that I had to do, I think paved the way. Yeah. For where I am now, because without those perspectives, I wouldn't really be able to do the work that I'm doing now. It wouldn't have happened. This journey wouldn't have worked out this way. So I'm forever thankful for all of my experiences.
Wow, it's incredibly inspiring and brave that you took this pivot, as you say. Let's learn some lessons now. So speaking of pivots, there are pivotal moments in any career that I suppose define professional success. How can we learn to spot those and learn to navigate them?
That's a great question. Now, sometimes there are pivots that we want to make, like there are things that we are targeting and things we want to achieve. We might want to, I don't know, land that role or get promoted or take on new projects or new opportunities. And sometimes there are pivots that happen that we didn't plan for, when perhaps we lose a role or our personal circumstances change, which impact how we do our work. And so I think it's just the advice that I give, because often I work with individuals who are trying to navigate something. And that something can vary. It can be, oh my goodness, Octavia, I've been promoted and I'm thrilled about it. I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to lead these new teams and I want to command respect. Can you help me? Or it can be, Octavia, I'm not doing what I really want to do and I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Or Octavia, I don't have a job right now and I'm trying to find one, or I want to spend more time with my family. I'm trying to figure out, how do I balance a career and be a working parent? Do I need to step back? We all have different things we're facing at different times, and what it might be like for me could be completely different for you, Lauren, or for anyone else. So I think what we have to do is trust our gut instincts, and also don't be afraid if something doesn't work out the way that you thought it might. Don't be afraid if you feel like you have, you know, made a mistake, or you've taken a step back, or something has gone wrong from your perspective. There can be so much that we can learn, not just about what didn't work, but also about ourselves and what matters most to us and what feels right and what doesn't feel right. And, you know, when I was pursuing my career in public relations, I was doing what I thought was right. And I was really working hard and really ambitious about it and eager to learn. But over time, just something didn't feel right. And I kind of ignored that feeling for a long time. I just tried different things. And it took me a while to really stop and pause. And so what looked like maybe a very sudden pivot from the outside was really a gradual one.
Right,
it was gradually me reconciling and thinking about what mattered most to me and what I wanted to do. And I didn't even have a name for it. I just had a restless feeling. So whatever the feeling is, whether it's a sharp, sudden thing or a gradual, incremental feeling, trust your gut. And if you need support, don't be afraid to ask for what you might need, whether that's from peers or people who are a little further along in their career than you, or finding a coach if you have the resources for that, or if you have an employer that can support your professional development in that way. I always tell people, because I work at so many companies that provide coaching, don't be afraid to ask. If there are things that you need, you don't know what resources might be available or perspectives there might be that can help you.
I was actually going to ask next, and you've sort of answered it there, really. But professional setbacks in careers, particularly, yes. I feel like in my career in the entertainment industry, I might get one job for every, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 auditions that I do. So the key to bouncing back from these setbacks and seizing new opportunities, I mean, I suppose you just sort of said asking for help from your peers, maybe, or.
And also knowing that if you really want something, every no you hear will eventually get you closer to that yes. And I say that from experience, because I have just taken on a new role this year as an author. You know, I'd never been an author before. And trust me, Lauren, there were a lot of no's, you know, along the way. And it was hard because this is your work, you know, these are your ideas and the no's feel like a reflection on you. And I know that's the same often with individuals that I work with who are maybe asking for promotions or interviewing for new roles. And, you know, rejection hurts, but you can't let that no stop you. It might be there's something you learn from it. It just might be it's not the right fit. And there's nothing that you did wrong. And there's nothing wrong with your experience. And there's nothing wrong with what you bring to the table. It's just not the right fit. And when I was in the process of developing the idea for my book, one of the first steps was to find a literary agent. And I stumbled across this brilliant blog post by someone who had kind of walked this path already. And she had this game that she had heard about, which she shared in this blog post, called Rejection Bingo. And she actually made it a game where, as she was getting rejections from literary agents, kind of track how many she was getting and like what the responses were. And actually made it a positive thing, because what she was emphasizing was the more rejection she was getting was actually a testament to how much she was putting herself out there, and eventually she would get a yes. And I read that at such a poignant time when I was feeling super sad about, you know, your kind of, your hopes are raised a little and then they're dashed, and then they're raised a little bit more and then they're dashed. And so I read that post and I was like, oh, wow, what a great way to look at this. I would never have looked at it that way,
yeah,
you know.
No.
Collecting rejections to me would have been like, oh gosh. But actually it allowed me to put a little bit of a spin on it, and I didn't even end up completing my bingo card before I got a yes. And so it's about knowing that everyone sees the glossy side of stuff. They see the book, or they see the role, or they see, you know, the LinkedIn post or the Instagram post about the great thing, but no one else knows what it took to get there.
So true.
And it's rarely seamless. And sometimes they're fantastic things that just drop in our laps, and that's amazing when that happens. But often it's still a culmination of lots and lots of work and persistence. And so we have to hang on to that we are still making progress, even if we feel like we haven't gotten where we want to be yet.
Yeah, a way to really sort of switch your mind to the positive rather than focusing on the negative, like you say, with this bingo, you know, really changing your mindset there.
Yeah. And I think being in LA really helped me with that, I have to be honest, because I feel like even though, yes, we're trying to find our way when we move here and everything's unfamiliar, but there's such a positive energy here that I really feel that I've been able to harness, and
so
that
true. Yeah.
People are constantly pushing for something. and striving for something. We're all on a journey. And I really love that. And so I feel that has definitely helped me.
Yeah, that's very true. I feel like British people can be quite self-deprecating compared to American people, who I find are much more positive. And then, like you say, there's definitely a drive here in LA that's go-getting, you know. Yes. Let's talk about your book, because we've spoken about it just now, Prep, Push, Pivot, which is a bestseller. And you've just spoken about becoming an author. Was it very delightful or very daunting? Both?
Both, of course. This was something I've wanted to do since I was able to read myself. Like, I've adored books forever and always wanted to be an author. And of course, when I was small, it was fiction books that I was devouring. And that's what I was picturing. Maybe one day, could it be me? And I never, as I got older, believed in myself. I never, that goal and aim was there, but I started to question whether I was even a good enough writer or able to do it. And so I kind of shunted it to the back and focused on other things. And I had a wake-up call, I don't know, 4 years ago, actually, while I was in England. And I was just like, I have to try, and I have to see what happens if I don't give up. Because I'd had a couple of false starts, like, over the years. And I was like, I just have to see what happens if I don't give up, even if I don't know every single step it might require. And so I will never forget the moment. It was in December of last year when I saw my books for the first time. My publisher sent me a box just before they were available in stores. And to see them hold them just felt incredible.
Amazing. And I want to know the title, which is a great title, by the way, Prep, Push, Pivot. But can you sum it up for us? What is the prep? What is the push? And what is the pivot?
Yeah, so the book is divided into three parts. And the prep is really laying the foundations for what matters most for you in your career. I think it's really important. We don't get asked, Lauren, that many times, you know, what matters to us? What are we working towards? What do we want to experience? Not just what do we want to be, but what do we want to experience? What do we want our careers to feel like? What do we want to do more of? And so, especially for underrepresented professionals, you know, women of color, we are, you know, we are paid at lower rates, we are hired at lower rates, we are retained at lower rates, we're promoted at lower rates. And so knowing our worth matters, not just in terms of how much we want to earn, but also in terms of what we want to pursue and the directions we want to move towards. And really asking those questions is so important. And sometimes, especially in the corporate setting, we get asked, like, once a year when we have a performance review, before we get into the details of how you've actually performed, you get these questions like, where do you want to be in 3 years or 5 years? And those aren't bad questions, but those aren't the only times when we should really be thinking about what matters most to us. I also, in prep, share advice on how to bounce back when things don't go the way you want them to, such as if you lose a job for whatever reason, and how to navigate that process. And then the push is geared towards pushing forwards into that next phase of your career, whatever that might be. For some of us, it's about laying the foundations for promotion. For some of us, it actually might be about maybe making a shift in terms of how we work and maybe taking a career break or returning to work, maybe after taking a break, and how to navigate those steps. And then the pivot talks about how to change careers, but it also talks about how you can be pivotal in your own career advancement and the career advancement of others. Sometimes we think we have to have accomplished certain things before we could be a mentor or a role model to anyone. But trust me, there'll be someone who's looking at you and thinking, I would love to do that one day, or I'd love to have had that opportunity, or I'd love to be in that role. And whatever that thing is, whether it's as simple as having made an international move to another country or actually doing the work that you do, whatever it is, or even what you studied, there is always someone who is trying to get where you have been. And I think it's really important for us to remember that, and to, as we navigate our careers and our work and what we're doing, be really intentional about opening doors for others, even if it's just through sharing our own experiences. That is powerful. And the book ends with the Dream Bigger Career Toolkit, which is like a whole collection of exercises, prompts, resources that you can use as you're navigating key moments, whether you're interviewing and preparing a resume or whether you're just doing that career road mapping and thinking that I referenced at the start of the book. It's all gathered in one place for you to kind of go back to and use as a resource.
Wow, it sounds absolutely amazing. I need to get a copy of it. You just touched upon there as well, underrepresented professionals in their careers. And the book, like a lot of your work, helps these underrepresented professionals in their careers. What were some of your own experiences as a woman of colour in the workplace that made you want to take up that cause?
Oh my goodness, so many experiences. So there were so many times, and I kind of got conditioned to it, where I would be the only Black woman in a meeting or on a team. And then sometimes as I got more senior, you know, the only person sometimes in the building. And it became difficult when I started to realize that there were fewer and fewer people, not just like me, but also when I looked at my peers that I did know in their respective fields and industries, maybe they weren't working alongside me, but were working at other companies or in other sectors, we were all kind of hitting ceilings that we didn't see coming, and we didn't notice it at first at all. You know, we're busy and we're excited and we're doing our work. And those things really matter. You know, there were so many times, especially in the early days of my career, before there were things like Zoom and Teams and video conferencing, where I'd be on the phone and then I'd actually meet people in person and they'd be shocked that I was Black. They couldn't connect. And I'd know this because they would say so. It wasn't just the look on their face. I've actually heard that. And so all of these things. And then when I started to learn more about the pay gap, and in particular, not just how it will take women potentially, you know, a century to close the pay gap with men, that for women of color, it's even more pronounced. Mm-hmm. It takes even longer for an Asian American woman or an African American woman to earn the same amount as a white man will earn in 1 year. And this seems to be a consistent theme, regardless of levels of education and regardless of seniority. And when you look at Fortune 500 companies, yes, there were so few that are led by Black women, but there's currently only two, by women, but only two that are led by Black women too. And so, you know, it really, really matters. And the ripple effects matter, because it's not just for those of us who are working right now. It's for the women that are following in our footsteps. They don't want the same circumstances. And while there's a lot of systemic issues that are the driving factors behind this, I also know how important it is, while we're navigating the workplace, to really know what our worth is and to really be our own best advocates, because we do need others to advocate for us. We do need to advocate for one another, but we also need to be really good advocates for ourselves. We really do. And, you know, there were times, I'm a career coach now, and I have a coach who helps me. But as I look back on my career, there were so many things that I wish I'd done differently. There were so many times when I didn't use my voice to negotiate my salary. There were so many times where I waited for recognition instead of communicating what I had brought to the table and what I wanted to do next. There were times when I did that and I still didn't get what I wanted, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't use your voice. Yeah. We really have to learn how to use our voices. And I didn't do that for, you know, really substantial parts of my career. And especially when I was returning to my career after becoming a parent, I have two daughters. You know, there were so many things that I wish I'd known, but I didn't, because it was my first time navigating this. And it's really lonely building a career. You know, even if there are people that are doing the same thing as you, their experience might not be the same as yours, and the challenges that they have might not be exactly the same as you. You know, I often go into organizations where I coach teams, and I coach teams that have the exact same leaders, and guaranteed the individuals on those teams, even with the same job description, are having completely different experiences from one another.
Of course. Yeah. Well, the way you talk is so, it's so inspiring, and your work, championing Black female entrepreneurs was one of the reasons you were awarded an MBE medal the late Queen, which was presented by now King Charles. Can you describe your feelings on that day and maybe what you said to His Majesty?
Yes, of course. Well, First of all, Lauren, it was a complete shock. I had moved back to Los Angeles for the second time, and apparently a letter had been sent to me in advance to let me know that I had been selected to be appointed a member of the Order of the British Empire, asking if I would accept that honor, but I didn't get the letter. And so I woke up one morning here in Los Angeles to a voicemail from the Cabinet Office. And I was like, oh my goodness. Why am I being called by the Cabinet Office? So when I returned the phone call, that's when I found out. And so it was a complete shock. And my investiture ceremony, as you referenced, was a few months later at Buckingham Palace with Prince Charles. He was incredibly warm and gracious. And it was incredibly, despite the surroundings and the magnitude of the day, it was an incredibly informal and relaxed day. It was really nice. And he asked me about my work and told me congratulations. And yes, it was really wonderful.
Wow. It's so strange to now say His Majesty. It still sounds really strange coming out of our mouths, doesn't it? But yes. Wow, what an amazing experience for you. You've spoken everywhere from Oxford University to UCLA here. What is the main message that you try to impart to students that are setting out on their career journeys?
Oh, yeah. So I remember being in that position like it was yesterday. And, you know, you've worked so hard at school and at college or at university. And then it's like, what now? And even when you know what you want to do, there is still that what now, because it's all new terrain. It's completely new terrain. So my advice would be just always aim high for yourself in terms of what matters most to you and what you want to experience, and be open to things perhaps going sideways sometimes. Careers can be a little wonky. Even if it looks like we're moving in the right direction, it might feel really, really difficult, or there might be things that we struggle with, or there might be things that we're perhaps bored by, or there might be things actually we're super excited by that we hadn't expected to be. So be open to all of the experiences. But if you know there's something you really want, be really intentional about it. Try and find mentors that can be part of your career journey, and know that mentors might come in and out of that journey. And there might be different mentors who can help with different things at different times, but be very intentional about that, because that can be such a game changer, especially when there's perspectives that you might need to have a sounding board that you can talk to, and perhaps also ask about their journeys, but also know that their journeys could be very, very different to yours. But perspective can still be really valuable. And I think just endeavor to enjoy it all, even the things that seem difficult. It's all laying the foundation for so much. While I regret not negotiating my salary or not using my voice at times, if I hadn't made those mistakes, I wouldn't have learned from those experiences. And I've been able to be really intentional about how I move forward from the mistakes that I made. Yeah. And so I really firmly believe that while we don't want to make mistakes at work, and no one wants to get fired, no one wants to fail a grade, but it's often when things do go wrong that we learn the most, and it's what we do next that matters. So if there's something that isn't going the way you want it to, it's how you respond to it that makes the world of difference.
You have your own coaching agency as well, called 2010, named after the year that it was formed, which works with major, major companies. Is there any fear going in to meet the heads of these corporate giants? And if so, how on earth do you put yourself at ease?
Well, at the beginning, yes, of course. Yeah. But it's the same fear when I think back that I had when I started my very, very first job right out of university, you know, the fear of being in the office and how do offices work, or being in your first meeting, or, you know, whatever your firsts are, there's always going to be fear there. And that rarely changes. Yeah. But then it's after you've taken that first meeting, or led that meeting, or completed that project, or written that book, or whatever the thing is, you realize I did it and I can do it. And so fear, I've learned to realize, shows that I actually normally really care about something, and caring about something is good. if I'm nervous about it, I care. And so I kind of remember one thing I when I'm coaching others, I always recommend this, and I do this myself, is if you're feeling nervous or feeling like, I don't know if I can do something, and it's something that you really want to do, think back about things that you've done well in the past, and not just the typical perhaps professional achievements, but like big things that mattered to you, that no one else might not even know about or realize that mattered to you. Really think about those things, and also track all the accomplishments that you have as you're working too, because things that seem inconsequential to you in the moment, when you look back on them, could be really, really impactful when you look at them from a different perspective. So keep doing that, and you'll remember you are so capable. You are so capable. And people need to work with other people to help solve a problem that they can't solve. And that's what all of our work is. In essence, we're helping solve a problem. We're bringing a skill to the table, and that skill is uniquely ours. So remember that.
That's such good advice. So much of that you've said here, I've been like hanging off your every word. It's been amazing to talk to you. I just want to wrap things up by asking, after everything that you've achieved so far, what on earth does the future hold for you? What ambitions remain?
Oh my goodness, that is a great question. Well, during the pandemic, I co-hosted a show about leadership with Harvard Business Review, and I loved that. So I love opportunities where I can communicate and connect with others and use my voice. I'd love to do more hosting. I'd love to write more books. I'd love to work with more professionals. I get such a buzz out of when I see the progress that someone has made. And it's not always immediate. It could sometimes be after a year that I get an update. Octavia, this just happened to me and I wanted to let you know. Or someone reads my book and tells me about how it might have helped them with a negotiation or a tough conversation, or just even deciding something they were going to do next. That feels incredible. So I really treasure all those experiences along the way. But yes, I'm excited for what the future holds. I'm not quite sure exactly what it will be, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
Well, I'm very, very excited for you. Octavia Gorodima, thank you so much for being my guest on A Brit in LA.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. It's been great to be here.
After recording this episode, I chatted with my best friend back home, singer and actor Noel Sullivan of Hearsay fame, all about the topics raised in this interview. And here's what we had to say. I don't think I've ever felt like my name is more boring than meeting Octavia. I feel like I should have gone with the stage name Octavia Samuel. So I'm kind of say it, Octavia Samuels.
Just any name you can say, really, I'd go with.
Octavia Samuels.
Hang on, what's her name? What's her name?
Octavia Gorodima.
Wow.
I know.
She sounds like she should be like royalty.
Yeah. Well, no, she spoke like royalty as well. I've also never found more unintelligent. She's like so, so smart. I was sort of, it was very engaging. I was sort of hanging off every word that she said, thinking, oh God, it's only.
Well, you know, I think sometimes when you meet people who are that inspirational, it must be like kind of strange for you.
I was thinking, where is this going to go? Where is this going to go? I was like, oh, you might be about to say something really inspiring for the listeners, but no.
No, but so she's like boss of the ladies. Tell me more about her.
Like a career coach, yeah. We spoke a lot about, she mentors, you know, people, big, big career people. We spoke a lot about rejection in our career, because it's obviously that a lot of careers get it, but particularly in the entertainment industry, you know, we have to deal with a lot of rejection. She was very inspiring talking about picking yourself up from rejections.
I'm sure she was. Well, I tell you something, Octavia, have a little walk in my shoes. I'll tell you about rejection. I can barely pick myself up off the floor when I get a no now, and let me tell you, I'm getting more no's than I ever got yeses.
Oh my God, you're in need of Octavia.
I really am. Give me the book. I want her on speed dial. Tell her to sort me out. Like,
you need her because, yeah, well, the book, Prep, Push, Pivot. Thank goodness I've got a pop shield on here, so I don't even worry about that.
That could be a book about loads of things, couldn't it?
I know that you've got something going on in that mind of yours. Like, it's actually...
it's not for now.
It's not for now.
It's definitely not for now. So is she gonna, like, are you gonna stay in touch? Is she gonna give you some career advice? Or did you, or do you think you got enough from her that you're probably not really asked about that anymore?
I feel like you're after her contact details for yourself, and that's fine because I will pass them over, because I think out of all of us, you are in need of somebody to prep you, push you and pivot you in the right direction, Noel. I think you'll find her very inspiring.
Yes, well, you're not wrong. When are we ever, you know, who can do without prepping, pushing and pivoting?
Would you say, though, that people in our career ever engage the help of a career coach, like a mentor? Well, I don't know whether I've heard
I've definitely heard of a few people in our biz going to like life coaching, but I'm not sure if it's like, well, you know more, you're in LA, everyone's got a life coach, haven't they?
Well, I don't know, sure people go to therapists.
Have you got one? Have you got one? Have you got
a life coach? No, you're my life coach, Noel, you know this.
If I am your life coach, then your life is exactly as it should be. Maybe it's time to get a proper life coach.
That is the quote of the season there, isn't it? If I am your life coach, then life is exactly where it should
be. Then must try harder.
Must try harder. No, but she works a lot with the underrepresented market as well, which is very interesting. She was actually telling me how just between men and women, the pay gap is going to take a century to close, around a century to close. But for women of colour, it's obviously exponentially even longer than that. She was just so inspiring. You know, when you sit there listening to someone talk and go, what? My problems are nowhere near as important as...
Yeah, exactly. It's good. I think you needed that anyway today. A bit of perspective. That's what you need. Keep your feet on the floor, not floating off up into the Hollywood Hills. That's, you know, I'm glad someone else is doing that as well.
It's hard not to do that here. Well, she's a Brit as well, and she moved over here, and we actually spoke about how she found it first moving over. And she said right at the start of the interview that she didn't find it easy to do the transition from UK to here.
But then did you just give her your amazing advice, which is just speak really like Julie Andrews and plumb it in your mouth every time you speak to someone, and then life gets better?
I didn't actually, and I should have told her that. I think she...
You should have told her.
She could have added that in her book, actually, I think. If in doubt.
Yeah, the very last page. After you've prepped, pushed and pivoted, if in doubt, just put on a really posh English accent and everyone will love you.
Just proceed to be incredibly waffly and British and it'll be great, you know? But one of the things she was saying as well, which really resonated with me, was how it can be really lonely to build the career that you want.
Well, yeah, so you have to... Well, the thing is, the minute you get an ounce of success, you drop everybody that you love, don't you? I've been waiting too. Don't worry. I thought by the time you... I thought 2 weeks into moving LA, you were going to get, I don't know, suits after speaking to What's-Her-Face last week.
And
here you are. You have had one job since you've been out there.
But this is my job.
No, like a real job, though.
Talking to you, this is my job.
No, like the acting job, the job job.
The job job?
Yeah, the job job.
Not going. I just like sometimes I look at your face and I'm just like, oh, look at him.
What, how much you want to punch me in the... Don't do that, you'll break the computer.
No. Look, anyway, we're talking about someone who's incredibly smart, intelligent, engaging and inspiring. And you and I are neither, none of those things.
Speak for yourself, Samuels.
Anyway, I'm going to go because, as usual, this has not turned out as I wanted it to.
Okay, then. Love you.
Love you. You've been listening to A Brit in LA with me, Lauren Samuels. Thank you so much to my guest, Octavia Gorodima. Thank you to my mate, Noel Sullivan. And most of all, thank you to you for the privilege of your time. If you've enjoyed the podcast and you're listening on Spotify or Google Podcasts, why not leave me a cheeky 5-star rating? It would mean the absolute world. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Audible, please do leave a review of the show. I would love to hear what you think of A Brit in LA and maybe what you'd like to see from the show in the future. Also, as I mentioned at the start of the episode, if you've got a question for me or for Noel, please ask it in the contact section of the show's website, abritinla.fm, and I will try and answer it on air later in the series. Please also share a link with your friends. Have a wonderful week until we meet again. And remember, wherever you are in the world, go for your dreams. TTFN.
Well, wasn't that amazing? It was created and produced by Podcast Partners. They're really lovely people and rather good at all this podcasting guff. Find out more at podcastpartners.com.